Thank you all for joining Latin Generation Panel Call on the 29th of August 2019. In the call, we have Bill, Michael, Marjana, Dennis, Neko, and Bettina. Over to you, Mariana.
Okay, we are still at the topic number two in our agenda about sharp S and double S and so on and so forth. So, I want now to ask Dennis to take the lead and try to lead us through this topic again. Dennis, could you do this? You are muted.
Sure, Mariana. Yes, yes, Mariana, with pleasure.
Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, I will start after Michael's intervention. Michael, go ahead. Michael,
yeah,
you are unmuted.
Yeah, sorry, I was unmuting. Hi, sorry. I just want to ask one question before we resume our discussion regarding sharp S and double S. Could the group confirm whether my recollection is correct regarding the situation of the underlined analysis? So I saw that we have a document with the underlining analysis, and we had taken individual votes through all of the group members. And in this document, we also had a final verdict. Was that final verdict accepted by the group? Because I think I may have missed one or two sessions, and I missed how all of this got concluded. I remember some discussion about how we should vote and calculate the final result based on individual votes. That was where it kind of got stuck. So my question is only the underlining analysis, was it accepted by the group? And is this like a widely accepted consensus, the final verdict in that document? Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. So you're referring to the document on screen?
No, like I said, my question was pertaining to the underlining analysis we had done end of June.
Which is, which one? Can you refresh our memories, please?
Sorry, I shared a link in the chat. Hope that's the one Michael referring to.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're referring to something completely different.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to ask before we resume the other discussion. I was looking into
right.
some of the stuff we had done. There is a final verdict in the document I saw. My question was that accepted consensus? Because the penalty is variant, not variant.
Yeah, I believe that's the proposal, yes. Bill, if you can remind us, but my recollection is that, we finalized that and we have the candidates per the analysis. But Bill, please correct me if I'm wrong.
That was my recollection as well, but when Michael asked me, but I suggested that we double check with everybody else just to make sure. So I'm thinking someone, probably me, needs to go through the list of variants from this and add it into the proposal, and I can do that over the weekend if you like.
I can take a look at it also at a later point. I just want to know whether there was consensus on this. But I understand, therefore, from both your response, Dennis, and Bill's response, that this was the case. So this would answer my question. Thanks. I just want to clarify because I think I wasn't present for one or two telephone conference calls while we were finalizing that bit. Thank you.
Got it, Michael, sure. But yeah, I mean, this is still available for everyone to review. But yes, Bill is right. I mean, the next step is to summarize the table of candidates using the format for populating the LGR, and that's what we will record in the proposal. But as we will provide the working analysis documents as well to the IP for review. Any other questions, comments on underlining analysis before going back to Sharp S? Okay, so hearing none or nothing on the chat, let's go back to the IDNA compatibility issues with respect to Sharp S. So as of last week, we were discussing, and one comment made by one of us, I think it was Sarmat, he pointed the use case where a user unknowingly that a domain name using Sharp S exists, he just, you know, types in into the browser, which is that's the reality, right? User input into browsers, web addresses, the web URL box is independent from whether the domain name exists or not. So it may be the case where the user inputs or types Sharp S and happens to be using Chrome or Microsoft Edge or Explorer, and then what happens, right? Those browsers, we know they will redirect the web address to something different, right? A string that looks similar to it, but replacing the Sharp S with a double S, and that's where problems surface. So the point was made because of whether the exclusion of Sharp S will address any misconnection issues, right? When we take into account the user input, and that user input is independent from whether a domain name exists or not, we cannot prevent that, right? We cannot prevent a user from typing something. And so by introducing this aspect of it, right, we have to revisit our analysis in terms of pros and cons and include this as well. And I'll stop here. And Bill, I see your hand. Please go ahead.
Yeah, there is a way to prevent misconnections, and that is if we have included Sharp S and blocked with S as a blocked variant, then if he types Sharp S and if he types double S, he's not, if he types Sharp S in IDNA 2003, it converts it to double S, but double S isn't there, so he doesn't get a misconnection. He does get a failure to connect, but he does not get a misconnection. And that's, we avoid the security problem, even though we do have a reduced level of service. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, and indeed, that's right. That's the possible outcomes when we introduce the Sharp S with a variant relationship with double S. What we are effectively doing is to constrain the possibilities as to the sponsorship of domain names using that character. The way Bill described it, right? When you make there's a variant relationship between two characters, basically, I mean, there is no policy yet at the top level, but the most likely path is that TLDs, Banyan TLDs are going to be sponsored by the same registry operator. As far as how, you know, they roll out policies to ensure that both domain names under the Banyan TLDs go to the same registrant, that's yet to be developed, but I mean, most likely that's what's going to happen. Bill, I see your hand again.
Yes, I would point out that even if we exclude SharpS from the repertoire altogether, if someone nonetheless goes in and types it, he will then get routed to something with a double S, which to my mind is a misconnection because he's not going to where he said he wanted to go. So excluding SharpS altogether doesn't actually solve that problem. Thank you.
Yeah, that's correct, Bill. I mean, we're looking through the lenses of how DNS should behave, right? If the principle of DNS is one of exact match. What you input, that's what you get. If the domain name does not exist in a particular zone, the expected response is of a non-existent domain, right? The DNS lookup should fail in that regard. If the domain name does not exist and you get a blank page or 404 or something that indicates that, you know, the web address that you intended to reach does not exist or is not responding. If you type something and you get something else, and in this case, what we're seeing is that certain browsers redirect the web URL to an entirely different thing, that's where misconnection occurs, right? So in that, let me update here. And I think also, change the suggested. Talking about exclude, not defer. I think that was the original language. Sorry, just taking notes here. Does that rewrite? Right. The cons of exclusion is that misconnection and this actually is not true since we're taking into account the user input. Denial of service or failure of connection. Well, failure of service might still, but not. Or maybe not, I don't know. Let me just. Would failure of service be mitigated? if we exclude only in the case where neither of the domain names exist, which we cannot control.
Correct.
Okay.
I think for the purpose of evaluating misconnection, we have to assume that either both, that any domain name that is legal does in fact exist. Because, you know, assuming that it doesn't is merely avoiding the question altogether.
Well, we're not assuming. Oh, no. Michael, please go ahead.
Thanks. I just want to suggest what you just said, Dennis. We should add that in there. The bit about that it will only be a solution in such and such a case. I don't remember the exact wording you just used. Sorry.
A solution for addressing what, misconnection?
You just had said something like 2 or 3, 4 minutes ago, like, okay, so would it actually resolve it? No, it wouldn't, because only in situation A, situation B, so you were presenting a summary of the whole thing. I think instead of putting pros and cons, like arguments for a solution in there, we should put a description of that solution. So have this table a bit more analytical, so to speak. And you just had that kind of, you just kind of said that yourself.
Yeah, I will. Sorry, I'm burned. Let us start going through the week, and so I will have to hear back the recording. But I think my sense is that we are leaning towards that we need a variant relationship, right? And if that's the case, the question is whether this variant relationship, I mean, two things that we need to decide. I mean, we know variant relationships are, there's symmetry, so it goes both ways. But what we need to decide is the disposition value of each of those directions, right? The one, the direction that I'm referring to is sharp S to SS, and the opposite SS to sharp S, right? Because of the symmetry property, the variant relationship is, you know, we have two, but the disposition value can be independent from each other. And if that's the case, I think we really don't need all these matrix that, and that be okay, right? At least it help us, you know, think through this, you know, very, very thoroughly and coming up to this conclusion. Any reactions to that or not? Michael agrees. I think you're referring to discarding. Michael said the same thing. Okay. I don't want to assume Mirjana, Bill agree as well, but I mean, if you have to, I'll just continue, but if you have something to say, please just raise your hand. So let me recap. So by introducing the use case where the user input is independent from the existence of a domain name, the reality is that if a user types a domain name using the sharp S, even though the domain name does not exist or is not available in the LGR, misconnection will occur when it's using the, you know, the wrong browser, put it that way. It's not wrong, but I mean, they just happen to implement something different. So by not by excluding the coupon from the repertoire, we really are not addressing the problem because the user input is independent of that event. So really comes down to, we need to put measures in order to mitigate the issues that arises of that, right? Which is we have typified those as misconnection when you are going to something different, and or failure of service when the domain name, you know, it does not exist or is blocked with hell or whatnot. Okay, so if that is the rationale, we really are. And so we are really, of the four options that we lay out here, we are basically are, you know, striking out exclusion, which is option one, and we are also striking out the fourth one, I'm sorry, the third one in this case, or, well, maybe the fourth on the table. Let me use a table and just to look at this. So we are striking the exclusion of Sharpe's, and we are excluding inclusion with no variant relationship, right? Do we agree on that? And we are only discussing now how do we treat the disposition of the variant relationship. Okay, and I see agreement, consensus, rough consensus on that. Okay, so that's good. So let's get forward. So let's focus on the disposition value, allocatable or block, right? And so just to level set the understanding of allocatable versus block, allocatable means that the variant label that results from the LGR calculation, it's could be activated in the DNS, right? That's allocatable doesn't mean that it will be activated. It means that could be activated, right? And we've gone through that explanation several times, right? That, you know, it is going to be up to the registry operator to apply for the variant TLD. And even if they apply for the variant TLD, it's going to be up to that registry operator to actually activate it into the DNS and offer it to second level domain names, right? And it's going to be up to the registrant at that point to activate that variant domain name as well. So there are several steps. There is no guarantee that making a variant relationship allocatable that it will, you know, be activated. But allocatable means that there is a path to activation. On the other hand, block means that the variant relationship, the variant will be calculated, but the variant label is going to be withheld from registration. So no one will be able to register or activate that domain name at all, right? And therefore, there is no way to activate it. And the variant, and so the allocatable and block, we need to look at this in the both directions, right? So with that, let me just go back, go up to where we have the tables looking at the different options, allocatable versus block, okay? Okay, so we have established, let me pause here. Michael, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to ask, it is possible not only to assign the disposition allocatable or blocked to the variant pairs in one direction, but in both directions, correct?
We need to assign the disposition value independent of each other for each direction.
So those are four dispositions in total?
Two. So you have two variant relationships, right? So sharp S to SS and SS to, I mean, there are four combinations that you can do, yes, but I mean, it's actually two disposition values that we need to assign.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Hassan?
Yes, hello. In the case of allocatable, I think it should be commended that only the registry which has a sharp S can allocate it to double S, or we face the same as misconnection if another registry allocates activates it with a double S.
Thank you, Hassan. I think I agree with you, but that's out of the scope of the LGR. But that said, that's something that the policy being discussed at the GNSO, CCNSO level as to how, you know, sponsorship of a Vanyan TLDs are to be managed. And the leading recommendation is what you just said, right? That Vanyan TLDs are allocated to the same registry operator and even farther, right, to the same back-end registry operator, so that there is consistency as to legal ownership as well as technical management.
Okay. Another thing, if there is a TLD already registered with a double S, what will be the case in this case?
Yeah, South Sudan. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill?
I understand that there's another group looking at it, but I think we should consider making a recommendation from our group as to which, how we think the whole question should be addressed. You know, we've been studying this at, let's face it, over the past month, great detail, and I think we're therefore in a position to make an expert recommendation on this, which they're free to ignore, of course, but I think we should go on record with which way we think this ought to be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I mean, yes, we could. Not saying that it's a waste of time, but that's the point of variants, right? Variants, by definition, are the same, deemed the same domain names, and therefore there ought to be a way to manage that. And even in the current registry agreements and the future, what it's going to be, the management of Vanyans at the top level strongly recommend going that direction. So again, I mean, I'm not against doing that, but it's I think that's what it's going to happen, right? Yeah, I mean, the notion of Vanyan, it's basically going into that direction. There is no other possibility. Michael.
Thanks. I just want to point out in response to what Bill said and you said that in a sense, this appendix we have been creating here with all the additional discussion we have been having around it can be put into the proposal, and then we will have, like, within the appendix, a more verbose recommendation and our stance on it. So I think we kind of already have it. We just need to put it in there eventually. Thank you.
Dennis, you may be on mute.
Sorry, I was on mute. No, Michael, I said that I didn't clearly understood what you said. It was your voice was a little bit breaking up for me. But I mean,
I can
if it's needed, words. Okay. Or yep, sure. Please go ahead.
Sorry about that. I was just saying that since Bill said we should like give a recommendation, I think, given all the analysis which is in this document, we already have recommendations. So if we amend the discussions we had around this and put this into an appendix of the document, we will have kind of a verbose analysis and recommendation on the side of our panel for the whole solution, irrespective of what we then will have as final disposition for the individual variant pairs. So it's kind of already there. That's what I was trying to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Micah. Okay, any other comments? All right. So going back to the table, so what is going to be, right? So we have two options. Let's focus first on one direction, sharp S to SS. The options are allocatable and block, of course. So there are merits one or the other. Somebody wants to go first. I think Michael volunteers. Michael, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think it should definitely be allocatable in that direction, because in all languages where the S set is used, this rewriting is an acceptable way to do if the S set is not available. So this is a thing that is quite common in the languages. Plus, it's the only way that we can give the opportunity to avoid denial of service or missed connection, because only if both versions can be registered in a TLD, then we can have the situation that users go to the same page independent of the fact whether the browser supports ITNA 2003 or 8.
Thank you, Michael. Bill?
Yeah, I tend to agree with the caveat that I think we should explicitly in the document, not just in the discussion we have here in the appendix, say we believe that the same registry operator should, that the variant version should only be assigned to the same registry operator, and we believe that the registry operator should only register a particular domain name to the same owner with both versions of the variant TLD. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Michael?
Thank you. I wanted to ask about one of the arguments in that table, the last one on the allocatable side, where it says misconnection cannot occur, but denial of service can. And I wanted to ask whether denial of service actually can occur in such a situation, because I think linguistically this is not plausible. Thank you.
Sure. So misconnection cannot occur because now you have a variant relationship between domain names, and the assumption is that these two variant domain names are going to be, one is going to be activated and the other one is going to be withheld for registration, since it's allocatable for the same entity, right? Be this the registry operator at the top level or a registrant, registrar at the second level. But if the variant domain name is not activated, then you will have a failure of service, right? Because you are typing sharp S, you are redirected to SS, and that SS variant is not activated into the DNS, and therefore you have a, domain name does not exist because it was not activated. It was allocatable, but it was not activated. And therefore, that's where you still can have failure of service. Whereas if the user was using another browser like Safari or Firefox, because it's typing Sharp S and those browsers implement IDNA 2008, they will find the domain name, right? So you are going to have different user experience based on the browser you are using. Does that answer your question?
So in some parts, the browser will automatically resolve, but in such case where the browser will not automatically resolve, failure of service may occur because the variant is not activated. My question is, how is that end result different from making it blocked in the first place or the other scenarios which were presented? Thank you.
Sure. So the question is, what's the difference between block? So in block, there is no path to activating the variant domain name. So in the first one, allocatable, if both domain names, let's call it the primary one, which is the first that is registered, and it could be SS or Sharp S, whichever, you know, is registered first. If both domain names are activated by the registrant, then you will not have misconnection and you will not have failure of service. Only in that case, if both domain names are activated, because the relationship is one of allocatable. Whereas in the block situation, let's say you first register the Sharp S, and therefore the variant that is calculated by the LGR will block the variant with SS. And block means that label cannot be activated and therefore will always get you an error if the user is using Chrome or Microsoft browser, right? Because you are entering Sharp S, you are redirected to SS, and because that, you know, variant using SS cannot be activated, you will always have a failure of service. Does that answer the question?
Kind of. I still feel somehow that that the denial of service can occur if something is not activated. Is a situation which applies in all cases somehow. So I don't quite see how this is an argument against something. So I think maybe this should be worded more loosely or more clearly in that regard. Thank you.
Yeah, we can add a clarification as to why, expand a little bit more on the difference. But I think we spend quite some time, you know, making this, explaining that allocatable doesn't mean activation. So making something allocatable in the LGR does not mean that the browsers will behave differently. The browsers will behave the same way, regardless of whatever rule you define or we define into the LGR. So again, right, it's just a way, the LGR is a way to manage and define, calculate, validate TLDs for delegation, but in no way, shape, or form will dictate how the browsers will behave. The browser will still behave the way they are behaving now. That will not change. Okay, so going back, so I trust that we now know the difference between allocatable and block. So what I hear is that the preference is to put on the Vidal relationship sharp S to SS to be allocatable. Is that where we are at now? Michael says yes. Others, Mirjana, yes. Hassan, yes. Michael, yes. And Bill, yes. All right, so that's really everybody's on board.
Cue the cheering.
I'm sorry, Bill?
Cue the cheering. We finally got to a decision.
Yeah, yes. I lost track of how many hours we've been discussing this. All right. So now on to the, so just, you know, to make it, you know, the milestone official, let's put some color to this. So let's put a green here saying, yes, this is the option, right? Now moving on to the opposite relationship, which is the SS to sharp S. Because we need to assign, there is no, right, we need to assign the disposition value to this variant relationship as well. So it's, again, two values, allocatable or block. And I don't think we have expanded so much here on to the pros, cons, or the difference between the two on what might happen. So I have Bill and then Michael.
It's my opinion that we should maintain symmetry. So if it's allocatable in one direction, it should be allocatable in both, because otherwise you get different outcomes depending on who by chance gets registered first. And I think it's far better to say it doesn't matter whether you register one or the other first, you still get the same result as far as who can register what. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I think that's a fair point. If you make it block, I mean, just for instance, right? I mean, then if a registry operator does not feel, you know, strongly into launching the Sharp S version first, then that the only way to have it both ways is to apply for both PLDs at the same time, right? And which is maybe not what he wants. I have Michael, then Hassan.
Yeah, I agree that this would restrict the registry operator in their choice of what they want to apply for first, but I still think that we shouldn't make it allocatable because we're doing an LGR and not some reasoning about business models of operators, and I think it would make the variant space too large if we also allow SZ to be an allocatable variant of SS, because linguistically there's no reason to do that. Thank
you. Equally a fair point. And that's something, you know, not that I'm predicting this, but I think most likely we'll hear from IP that the combinations that this variant relationship will create do not make sense, right? And it's actually creating variant labels that will not likely be needed. But if they are, make it possible. And as Hassan pointed out, there is a TLD.SS, a country code for the South Sudan territory, and then you will have a TLD as a single character sharp S. I mean, that's basically what the LGR would calculate. Doesn't mean that it will be delegated or, you know, assigned to the CCTLD manager, but I mean, that's maybe something that we need to look at and consider it, you know, well. So going back to the queue, I have Hasem, Bill, and then Michael.
Yes, I think it shouldn't be allocatable because linguistically, you can you can replace the sharp S with a double S before the RDN when using ASCII. Always the sharp S was replaced with a double S, but you cannot replace a word which is originally with double S to a sharp S. You cannot put a sharp S and write have the same word with a sharp S. So linguistically, it wouldn't be fair.
Thank you, Hasem. Bill?
I think I disagree because I don't think we need to. First off, I don't see the concern about how this would expand the variant space. It would no more expand it than any other set of variants that we have identified, all the others of which go both ways. Second, I don't think we need to be concerned about is this linguistically valid? Michael and I were having a discussion some time ago about whether we wanted to put a constraint in saying that the sharp S cannot be the first character because linguistically that can't happen. And he made the perfectly reasonable point that, well, we're not requiring that TLDs be a valid word. I think the example he used was if somebody has made his company name be his name spelled backwards and his name ends in a sharp S, then that would be something with that starts with a sharp S, even though that linguistically can't happen. And there's no reason to necessarily restrict that. So I guess what I'm saying is, I don't think we need to worry about whether, you know, there are cases where a double S cannot be replaced with a sharp S because we're not restricting TLDs to being valid words. Thank you.
Thank you. And that's true, right? We are DNS labels are mnemonics, not words. One thing I do want to chime in is we don't have this problem for the other variant relationship that we have defined because they are block and blocking there is no path to delegation, so there is no issues. I mean, we can block as many variants that we want, but as making them allocatable, that does create a problem because it offers a path to activation, and that's where the LGR procedure is clear, stating that we should minimize the labels that are allocatable. So that's why I think we are discussing this. I have, not sure if I had the queue right, but I'll just go with what I see. So I have, okay, thank you, Hasan. So I have Michael and then Michael.
Yeah, thank you. I want to say two things. First, before there was this scenario regarding the South Sudan CCTLD, and it was said that if SS has a variant relationship towards sharp S, they may end up having potentially a variant for sharp S, but single character CCTLDs are not permitted. I mean, single character TLDs are not permitted, right? So I don't think it's a scenario we need to be concerned with. And secondly, since we just were discussing about whether or not we should have a whole label evaluation rule, for example, to block the use of sharp S in the beginning of strings because it cannot linguistically occur in such positions, and the discussion whether we are looking for linguistically plausible labels or we're actually not considering linguistic plausibility. The Arabic script panel, for example, did create rules regarding such things. So there were some things like, for example, Alif with Hamza, which was blocked in certain positions. So based on linguistic rules and linguistic conventions, they did set up whole label evaluation rules to stop such things from happening, just as an information. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Michael?
Yeah, I just want to respond quickly to Bill's argument. He said he would like to have it allocatable for symmetric reasons, but I don't think this is a good argument, because if these dispositions should always be symmetric, then they should have made the rule that we shouldn't decide for each direction what disposition is used. So this is not argument in my point of view, whereas the argument that there is no reasoning to make it allocatable because there's no linguistic rule that in those, in all cases where you have a double S, you could also put a sharp S or SZ. That's a reason from my point of view.
Thank you, Michael. Just noting the time, I think we will not finish our conversation here, and I have to drop out sharp at 1, so I think we can continue next week focusing only on this the allocation, the disposition value of this variant relationship, SS to sharp S. I will include all the discussion that we've made for each of the options, and we can continue this conversation next week. So with that, before turning this to Mirjana again, any questions, comments, or observations that we ought to record? Michael, please go ahead.
Yeah, just a short comment that I won't be able to join next call because I will be traveling, unfortunately, but I already pointed out my vote for this decision, so you know that.
Thank you, Michael. Noted. Okay, so with that, Mirjana, I'll turn back to you. Mirjana, if you are speaking, you are on mute.
Sorry for this. Sorry. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Dennis, for today's discussion. Now we are progressing. That's good. And is there any other thing which we could raise now before the end of the meeting? We have 4 minutes till the end, top of the hour. I see no hands, so I will close the meeting for today and hope to hear you next Thursday again. And thank you all for being present at this meeting, and hear you soon. Bye, and have a nice rest of the day.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Bye. Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.